What one thing would make the single biggest difference, think about it, over the next 30 days if you were to be intentional trusting God in your life and stepping out, making some adjustment in your life? What one thing would it be? Or one thing that's made a big difference in your life? Hey, Dr. Randy here. This is Intentional Living. I'm live in the studio today. I'm with Jennifer and Stephen, the rest of our Intentional Living family. And our phone line is open. We just want to talk. Give us a call, 888-888-1717. Imagine with me for a moment. Imagine if for the next 30 days, criticism were to disappear in your family. What difference that would make. Imagine for the next 30 days, if every day you were to spend 10 minutes just in prayer, praying for friends, praying for God to move in your life, what difference would that make? Just 10 minutes every day, maybe reading the Bible every day for 10 minutes. What one thing would make the biggest difference? Maybe for the next 30 days, every day you call and encourage someone that you love in your family, maybe that needs a word of encouragement. What one thing would make a difference? Why do we say this? Because intentional living is about doing the next right one thing for God's glory and, frankly, for the benefit of those you love and yourself. That's part of the journey that we're on together here from the Intentional Living Center. I'm Dr. Randy. We're live in the Intentional Living Studio with the phone number open to you at 888-888-1717, where you can be a part of the show with us here live today. We certainly would love to hear from you. Let's get started, Antonia, with our first caller. What's your one thing?
My first one thing is my husband. We were having some marital issues because my husband, unfortunately, is a non-believer at this time. So I was just asking the Lord to help me to be the wife that he needs me to be. Because of my pride and selfishness, I wasn't doing or following God's orders. So I decided to be intentional. And just by just being gentle and patient towards him, which has been very difficult for me. Another thing that I would like to start doing is rebuilding my relationship with my son. My son is 35 years old, and I don't know how to relate to him.
Is it a similar issue of trying to connect with your husband as well, knowing what to talk about or being real?
Yeah, it is, for both.
Let me ask you this. What works? What's one thing in your communication with your husband that you find helps you be more intentional in your relationship with him?
Well, I actually, for instance, yesterday I sent him a text message and I told him, you know, that I was thinking about him and that I love him and that I hope that he had a good day. So those are the types of things that I've been starting to do recently.
And how did he respond to that?
Oh, he responded very favorably.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. It makes a difference. Listen, you can turn things around by taking some of these baby steps, right? Doing the next right one thing. You know, this last weekend, myself and our team, we were in Michigan. We had a great weekend, by the way, in East Lansing and then in Auburn Hills. We had about 600 couples, about 11 or 1,200 people, and about 80% of those folks, maybe you're listening, you were there, about 80% stood or raised their hand or made an indication about the power of one thing in their life. And they made a commitment for one thing for 30 days for their marriage. And the reason we do that is because if we can break the inertia and say, hey, I can for 30 days pray for my spouse every day or not criticize my spouse or maybe it's my kids, but one thing to get started developing that new habit, it can become foundational to change your whole life. And so that's the power of one thing. In fact, if you were one of those who made that decision, man, I'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. Tell us about how the conference impacted your life and how you're doing on your one thing and what it was. We gave out the wristbands on the way out, the one thing wristbands, and you took one. How's it going? Love to hear your story. We're live. I'd love to talk to you. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. One thing. Maybe you've decided to say, we're going to deal with finances different. The financial world is a mess right now. And for 30 days, we're not going to use a credit card. Maybe that's your one thing. What is it? All right. Let's continue on. 888-888-1717 is my number. 888-888-1717. Jacqueline in New Mexico, what's your one thing?
My one thing is I have grown daughters and they're all live out on their own. And my one thing is I talk to them every day, every other day about through text. But my one intentional thing for the next 30 days is going to be to reach out to them daily and say, you know, how can I pray for you today? What's going on? Can we have lunch? You know, just more personable with them.
Yeah, now you do that on the phone, as a voice, or do you text, or how do you connect with them?
We text now, but what I'm going to do is make, you know, the intentional habit to call them and talk to them, or maybe stop by and visit them, bring them some lunch, or just something, just to get us all back connecting again.
There you go. Listen, you do that. We'd love to hear back, Jacqueline, after you've done that, the difference it makes. You know, sometimes we just have to stop and think. We're like a rat on a wheel, and we're running through life. We're chasing and chasing, and we're going after, we got work, we got activities, we got all the things in our life, but we stop and say, now, wait a minute. What's one thing at the end of every day I could look back and say, hey, this one thing made a difference in my life, my family, my finance, health, work, something that I know brings glory to God because I'm living my life the way God intended in this one area, and it makes a difference in my life. What is that one thing, and what difference has it been making? We're going to come back with more calls, maybe yours, in just a moment.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. We're continuing with our Intentional Minute today as we're focusing on how to make great decisions, or at least better decisions in life, because when we do, life tends to be better. Number 3 on this list of the top 10 is understand that there's always a risk when you make a decision. I was thinking of Jesus going to Matthew, the tax collector, and he was there in his booth, and Jesus says to him, drop what you're doing and come follow me. Now there's a risk. I mean, he left what he was doing. He left the comfort and security of that job, as it were, to step out and follow this Jesus. And it radically changed his life. After we collect about 80% of all the information we're ever going to collect, there's a point where we have to trust God, step out, make a decision, and understand that there's always going to be a risk associated with the outcome. When you do that, that's intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
And I hope you do that. Lots of helpful things for you on our website at theintentionallife.com, where there's resources available to assist you and encourage you in your journey and your family and your relationships. And that's why we do this every day. Today, I want to focus on a topic that makes sense logically in our head, but ask the question, how often do we really apply the power of one thing? Even the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, forgetting those things which are behind. And he was reflecting on the good and the bad, the ugly, the things that he would be proud of and whatever in his past. And he said, forgetting those things which are behind, I choose to pursue the goal, this one thing, he said in Scripture. This one thing to pursue and really to pursue Christ in his life. That's what he's saying to us in Philippians chapter 3, the higher calling in his life. And it really brings us home to the simple day things of our day that we have to do. And when we talk about one thing, it doesn't have to be huge or big. It could be, you know, one thing, I'm a mom, I just want to be a good mom. And today I'm going to pray for my kids. Or today, you know, in my marriage, got some challenges. Hey, I find myself maybe being too critical. I choose today to knock off the criticism. I do that to bring glory to God, benefit to my marriage, right? I don't know. You know what it is. Every marriage, every family, it's different. We'd love to hear what yours is. All right. Go ahead and give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 888-888-1717 is the phone number. And let me see here. I'm going to go to, I think Ernestine is on number 1 here. There we go. In New Mexico. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. How's your day?
Good. Thank you. Go right ahead. What's your question or comment here today?
So I was listening just now, and I heard Jacqueline call in about her intentional movement about calling her daughters every day.
Yes.
And trying to connect with them more. It made me think about my relationship with my mom, and we talk a few times a week at most. And I was just kind of curious to get your perspective on, you know, our relationship isn't the best or the closest, but how can we really go about reconnecting if just kind of our personalities aren't there to mm-hmm. be a daily conversation?
So do you have anything in common, or what do you have in common other than the same last name?
We are both believers. We both have, I mean, like when we're in person together, we get on great, you know, we joke, we laugh, we, you know, carry on just fine together. It's the part when we're not together and trying to stay connected. She lives in another state now.
Mm-hmm. And so this is something you want to do. You want to be more connected with your mom.
I do. It's just an interesting dynamic that the whole conversation daily is just kind of strange, I think.
What is strange about it?
I don't know that we are on that level, which is strange because when we're in person, we're fine together, but it's the sharing of our lives of everyday happenings that I don't know, maybe I'm not comfortable.
Yeah. Is it because you were raised that way? I mean, are you kind of superficial? I don't want to use that word, but you know what I mean? Sort of a...
I do. I guess kind of. I mean, I feel like when I was younger, I was more, you know, prone to just leaving it all out there and sharing every detail. And as I've gotten older and we've kind of drifted apart during different chapters of our lives, that's no longer something that I guess I'm open to.
Uh-huh. Is she open sharing with you what's going on in her life?
Very much. And I'm not a good conversationalist when she does. I don't often say much back.
Mm-hmm. Because why?
I mean, the things that she's doing are great. You know, she's on missions to witness for Christ, and I think that's wonderful. And other than letting her know that that's wonderful and that's great and encouraging her to keep doing that, I don't know what else much to say.
Is there any resentment in the relationship? Expectations not being met? Disappointments?
Not necessarily, no. Huh. I love my mom dearly. I mean, the whole friendship, I guess, aspect of our mother-daughter relationship may be struggling a bit.
Well, let me just say, all relationships are different. All relationships are different. And you can look at one couple or one person with their parents and be envious of that, and they may look at you and be envious of something else. But if the desire of your heart is to have a better relationship with your mom, maybe you need to be intentional in terms of when you call. Maybe you're going to say, I'm going to call twice a week. Just wanted to call mom, say, I've been praying for you, and what's going on in your life that I can pray with you about? Or what's your schedule today? Or here's something going on in my home or going on with the family. In other words, unless you schedule it, I call it planned spontaneity. Unless you plan it, it's not going to happen because it's not something you typically gravitate to because you're probably very busy with your family, your kids, or whatever you're doing. And it's easy to kind of set that aside because she's off in another state. When you're together, it's fun. But when you're not there, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
Yeah. So
okay.
I can definitely
take that advice.
Yeah, if that's one thing you're looking to do, unless you put it on the calendar, say, I'm going to call mom on Tuesdays and Fridays, let her know I'm praying for her, and ask her how she's doing. And keep reasonable expectations. If you want to have a relationship, you got to build. You can't have a relationship without spending time and connecting with each other, bottom line. All right. Thank you for your call. I hope that helps. Let me go to Amy, who's in Arizona. Hi there, Amy. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you so much for taking my call today.
You're welcome. What's your one thing?
So I'm actually calling to tell you about one thing that did not work for me.
Okay.
Back in 2018, my husband and I drove all the way from Peoria, Arizona to Branson, Missouri, and we participated in a 5-day marriage intensive at Hope Restored.
Right, the Focus on the Family Center there.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, when we first got back, maybe for the first 1 to 2, maybe even 3 years, things did improve, but then the cycle continued and things went back right to where they were before we left to go to Hope Restored. And so within the past 1 to 2 years, we've done professional marriage counseling. And I am not happy with where my marriage is right now. I sense that I'm developing bitterness and resentment against my husband because of expectations that are not being met. We have 2 children, 14-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old son, plus, you know, all the, you know, regular duties that a family goes through to keep the family afloat. And I find myself doing 90% of the things in the household to keep that family afloat, such as housework, budget, finances, being the one to try to lead our family to go to church every weekend. And I'm frankly tired. I'm overwhelmed and I'm worn out. And I've tried to communicate this to my husband, and things just aren't changing. And I do feel stuck because my husband and I, neither one of us are in a financial place where we could separate, which I don't want to, but how come it's me that's carrying the majority of this burden? And I, like I said, I'm trying so hard. I feel like I'm the one leading the family. It's supposed to be his job. He is a believer. He does know Christ. He's gotten baptized. And we both go to a small group. I feel like I'm the driving force every week to even get him to go to group. If it wasn't for me encouraging him and reminding him, we probably wouldn't make it to group. So I don't know what else to do. I feel like I've tried everything. I've tried Hope Restored. I've tried professional counseling. I don't really know what else to do to try to fix my marriage.
All right, Amy, you said it at the beginning. You have expectations that have not been met. And anyone who was at my conference this last weekend, you know we spent a whole long time camped on that topic of an expectation not met creates disappointment. And disappointment can lead to disillusionment. And eventually it can create the kind of pain that I hear in your life. Now, as I said on the conference, we either change reality or expectations. And I'm wondering, Amy, I don't know. I hear you. You're frustrated. I can hear it in your voice. And you've said, I've tried everything. Now, I'm going to say this very gently, but at what point do we resign from feeling like I have to be the Holy Spirit for my husband? At what point do I stop saying, you know, I can't control him? I can't control him getting to a small group. I can't control him getting to church. I can't control him doing all the things that I want, expect him to do around the house. And at what point do I say, I'm not going to allow him and his behavior, lack of cooperative behavior, to bring me down and influence my life? At what point do I say, before God, I've shared with him what the needs are, and I choose to take the higher road in terms of, I'm not going to remind him, I'm going to get up and go to church, or I'm going to go to the small group, or whatever, not with an attitude, but with a reality that I can't control my husband. I can't control what he's going to do or not do. I can only control my response to the expectations that I have in my life and give him over and our marriage to Christ, and then be the person that I need to be in the relationship and in my family. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, but how is it, you know, right that I carry the entire burden of the household and he just gets to sit there and not participate in certain things? I mean,
we're not talking about what's right. We're talking about what you can do. I mean, I hear your voice, and obviously if you guys can get into counseling, you need to get the proverbial cards straight up on the table and say, honey, I'm not happy, and here's why I'm not happy. I'm not suggesting that by doing this, you're going to be in happy land, but you need to express exactly to him what the expectations are. We talked about this in our events. I say, hey, these are some things that I expect. Let me ask you this. Of all the expectations, what expectation does he meet at all in your marriage?
He does help with the dishes. Okay. And he does help with cooking.
All right. And you appreciate that?
Very much so.
And you let him know?
I have mentioned it several times that I appreciate him cooking and that he does the dishes, yes.
Yeah. Have you ever found that when we show appreciation for someone, we tend to get more of that positive behavior?
Yes, I have noticed that.
Yeah. What would your husband say if he were on the line with me about the marriage What do you think he would say?
I've asked him why he can't help more in the household and why there's certain things not getting done. And he literally admits to me point blank that there's certain things that he's lazy about.
Huh? Well, maybe, you know, we talk about using some natural and logical consequences with our kids. Sometimes we have to do that in our marriage too. You know, you can't always step in and do everything for him. I mean, he's a big boy. I'm a big boy. My wife, Donna, doesn't, well, she's pretty good about that, taking care of everything for me. But the reality is she doesn't have to. And she knows that sometimes it's not necessarily good for our marriage for her to do things that I'm capable of doing as well. We can disable each other. I hear your pain, Amy, and I'm just going to encourage you, and I hope your husband hears this. Hey, listen, life is short, and to continue to live in a relationship like this when it can be all that God intended, and you just said it. You went off to the retreat, and it was pretty good for a couple of years. You got to go back and figure out what we were doing back then that was working and get doing it again and find out why it stopped. That's where, if I were sitting down with you guys, that's where I would start. I would say, well, what was working then that's not working now? What were we doing then that we stopped doing? And why did we stop doing it? And saying, well, I'm just don't want to do it, or I'm lazy, or whatever, that's not an excuse. That's an excuse, not a reason. And so to be able to really get those things on the table, I encourage you to do that. We're talking about the power of one thing today, Amy, and here's my one thing for you. I think you need to be careful, because I hear the frustration and disappointment in your life, not to allow that to hijack your emotions, take control of your emotions, and cause you to become the person in the marriage you don't want to become, all right? Because you can still have control over yourself. Hang on. I'm going to have Stephen get your address. I want to send you a copy of our book on hijacked emotions, and I'm also going to send you Star for Affection, and I would encourage the two of you to read those and discuss them. Your marriage is worth it. I hope that helps.
I did not know how to communicate with my wife. Almost 6 years, we were not intimate in any way, shape, or form. So then I sat down with her and talked to her about it, and now for the past month, it's like a whole new relationship and a whole new marriage. Thanks for everything that you do, and I can say for sure that being intentional with your program saved my marriage.
If you've ever wondered if supporting intentional living makes any difference at all, there's a very happy couple in St. Louis that are living examples of what God is doing. Become a monthly member of Intentional Living today at theintentionallife.com.
You know, when you support the ministry of Intentional Living, you allow us to do what we do every day with your prayers and your support. God bless you for doing that. We can't exist without it. And I appreciate your support, your financial support every month, allowing us to get resources out to people around the world in terms of living intentionally in Christ. And you can join us today by going to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or you can go online, or you can call, rather, 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours. He's back. And join us there. All right. I'm looking at the phone here. David? We got David? All right. Line three. Let me go to David in Arizona. Hi, David. How you doing?
Doing all right.
Good. What's your one thing?
So my one thing is what I'm working on right now, and that's managing my finances.
What woke you up to doing that?
So I have a fiduciary, and I do receive money from the VA, and I was just throwing my money here and there, giving big tips. And, you know, I would pretty much go from so much a week down to zero and then have to wait for the next check.
Mm.
And I go, this doesn't make any sense. Like, there's other things that I need that I keep saying I need to get, like clothes and other things that are more important than eating out all the time or going to the casino all the time. And
yeah,
I just kind of woke up one day and said, you know, this I need to figure something else out.
And, so what one thing are you doing different?
So I pretty much have canceled out the casino.
That's a very wise decision. You never win long term.
Yeah. I started giving money to the church, so that the casino money goes to the church.
Better investment.
And my tips aren't as big as they used to be.
Well, I'll tell you, when we want to make financial decisions, David, you have to have a wake-up moment. I call it an aha moment or an oh no moment. We have one or the other. An aha moment is where you say, wow, I just realized something and I'm going to make a change. An oh no moment is, uh-oh, I have no choice. I have to make a change. We hear both on Intentional Living. Sometimes it's when we get to the pit with our marriage, our finances, health, whatever, and we get a oh no moment. Other times, and much better, by the way, to have one of those aha moments. It can happen when we're hearing a great message in church or something we hear on the radio or something we're reading in scripture or from another resource that gives us an aha moment of awareness that there's a better way. And it sounds like that's what you've had. And listen, just stay at it. But can I encourage you to get some help? There's resources available. We teach the 10-10-80, learning to tithe, get to the point of 10% because that's all God's. We learn to give, and then saving, setting aside that emergency amount of at least 10% that can build up into retirement and savings down the road and so on, and then learning to live on 70 or 80% and the rest going to giving, generosity, and to and saving for the future. And when we do this, listen, when we do one thing like this over an extended period of time, we talk about compounding interest. You see it. If you've been saving, you see what happens with it when you compound saving. This is what happens in everything. In our relationships, we have compound interest. It happens in our health, compound interest. It happens in our words that we speak, compound interest. And so it can be a value add in your marriage, in your family. All right, we're out of time. Thank you, David, for calling. We're going to stay here, however. And we're going to talk a little more about the power of one thing. What's one thing in your life? Give me a call. We'll talk to you, record them, and share these thoughts on an upcoming program here at Intentional Living. When you call right now, 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Again, thank you for being a part of the ministry. Thank you for your prayers and for your support. I'm Dr. Randy. On behalf of Jennifer and Stephen, the rest of the team, my wife Donna, and myself, God bless you. We'll see you next time from our Intentional Living Center.